Hello.
How are you?
How's it going? I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. I am somewhat rested. I'm relaxing. We're finally seeing the end of the quarantine tunnel, hopefully.
I pray. I know. Thanks to the vaccine, I will say.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad. I'm happy. You know, the numbers seem to be going down as well in Canada. So,
okay. Are you like pro-vaccine, or are you still like a little tinfoil on the head, or a little bit conspiracy vaccine?
I used to be 100% conspiracy vaccine and didn't want to take it first. Until my workplace sent a letter around like that we need to get vaccinated or else. And my butt ran straight to the clinic, girl.
I'm dying.
You don't mess with my bag. That's one way to get me to do what the hell you want, okay? mess with my bag.
I mean, okay. And I say this to anybody who's like, oh, I'm not sure about the vaccine. I'm not sure. Like, I will outline a few points. I'm not super pro-vaccine, but I can understand the science behind it, that they didn't create this vaccine from scratch. People have been researching the flu for decades upon decades, and like influenza and the cold and other strains of coronavirus, because there are more than one. It's just when this one came to the forefront and became a pandemic, obviously the priority shifted to this one. So when people say like, oh, this came out of nowhere, it's like, not really. And then my second thing is, and I will never forget, the minute Ebola virus stopped becoming a quote unquote African disease and touched the United States, I've never seen a cure so fast in my life.
So true. So damn true.
Okay, so that's all I have to say. When people want to find the solution, they can't find the solution. I'm a bit of a conspiracy head because I believe there is a cure for cancer. We just can't afford it.
Right.
No, I'm serious, because at the end of the day, the care is still a business.
Of course. Especially
in the U.S., right. So it's like, you know, people profit off of, what are you going to profit off of? One person being cured or one person being treated multiple times, how many times repeatedly until they die?
To die in the end anyway, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's sad. They'd rather pay for, you know, to deal with your symptoms instead of cure you. Because once you're cured, they're out, right? So...
yeah, it sounds terrible. It sounds like those sketchy mechanics that fix your car for one problem, but then you have to come back because there's now another problem.
It's really sad. Like, I'm just happy that we're getting a little bit of headway in Canada, because it definitely leads into our topic of today, which is mental health. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, the mental health kind of stability or their life has started rocking the boat for a lot of people. A lot of, you know, helplines are getting a lot more calls. I'm in the violence against women sector I work in. I know that a lot of shelters have received extra phone calls, a lot, you know, either more calls, and some have received a lot less calls, which is scary when you're getting less calls, because it means, you know, women are scared at home, they're with their abuser, and, you know, suffering, you know, mentally and suffering in silence at home because of these stay-at-home orders. You know, we're not like the states who are all out having spring break right now.
Right. And the thing is, like, it's funny because on my personal page, I put out like just a little quick survey, just being like, how is everyone? And people would either respond, be like, I'm doing good. And some people would be like, I'm less than great. And so then I asked, I essentially asked, well, what's going on? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be with you, but it could be people around you. And like the topics that popped up were, you know, people struggling with their kids. And I was just like, honestly, you need to when this is over, you need to hug, thank, buy a bottle for your ECA, ECE, teacher, professor, tutor, babysitter, you know?
All of them. All of them.
All of them. All of them. And then somebody else used mentioned a comment about, what was it? I think it was homelessness, because they had another friend who was like very, who was, I don't want to say very at the risk, but apparently they were homeless. They became homeless and they had to be bouncing around between shelters and the hotels that have now converted into shelters to have adequate spacing for like homeless people.
Wow, that's so sad.
It is really sad.
That is. And like, that's a reality too. A lot of people are out of business and, you know, they don't have their jobs anymore, or, you know what I mean? Places are locked down, small businesses are shutting down. Right. So that is a very real reality for a lot of people. That's so sad.
Well, and I think, the third point that somebody brought up was just like job loss and loss of income. And I was saying, like, honestly, like, I definitely feel that, because as much as people want to say, like, CERB was great, like, it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds nice, like, okay, yay, you get $2,000 a month. But, like, when the average rent in Toronto, Ontario, Canada is, like, $2,300.
Right.
You're still in a deficit. Mm-hmm. So, like... Mm-hmm. So it's like in theory, it's like you're claiming you have to be a two person household, both claiming CERB in order to just stay afloat.
Mm-hmm. That is true when you think about it that way, because what is the average person making, right? Like, that's literally $1,000, $500 a week. That's all that is. Like, that's,
right.
Yeah. That's right. Crazy.
And like, a lot of people claim that, you know, your rent should be about what, like 30% of your income.
Yeah.
So it's like, if one is to assume, like, let's even drop it lower and say that the average rental area in Toronto is $2,000. If that's supposed to be 1/3 of somebody's income, that means you should be earning on average at least like $6,000. So what is a $2,000 a month going to do for people?
Exactly.
Like, that's and I don't want to, like, I don't want to seem ungrateful, but like, what is $2,000 a month going to do for somebody who can't pay their rent with that? And then at the end of the year, you're taxing them on that money.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize they were taxing it. You're right. Yeah.
I think they taxed maybe about the first 12 or 14,000, and then afterwards, when they released the CRB, they took money out of the CRB. So instead of $1,000 every 2 weeks, people were getting $900 every 2 weeks, because that $100 was going towards taxes.
Oh, I see. To help not screw people over, I guess.
Yeah, because people were realizing that they were going to get screwed over.
Right. And the thing is, the reality is that CERB is only like money for people who, if you're living at home with your parents and they're not charging you rent, you know what I mean? Then I could see, okay, maybe someone could live off of that. But if you're literally living hand to mouth and you have rent to pay, bills to pay, hydro, internet, cable, all that stuff, I can imagine that being very tight. Like that, it wouldn't be nearly enough.
You know, and it's like, I know we kind of like brushed over the whole homelessness comment, but it's like, it's already hard to be homeless in general, but can you imagine facing homelessness and you have mental health issues and it's a pandemic where you can't really reach out to your normal everyday resources?
Exactly. Everything's virtual. So if you don't have a phone or don't have a computer or desktop, you know,
libraries weren't open during the pandemic, so if you couldn't even afford a computer, you couldn't go to a public resource where you can use one for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's rough. It's really rough. And like, for me, honestly, I feel like God just saved me during this time. I had previously been working for a car dealership company. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to name which one, but it was a group of dealerships, and that job was very, I liked my job at the time, but it became stressful. Okay.
Right.
It became very stressful. They became unreasonable. They, you know, just wanting you to work. They don't care. You know, they just dump it on you. Mm-hmm. Very unreasonable. And I ended up leaving the job and thinking like, damn, this is the worst decision ever. You know, I should stay there. You know, there's a lot of potential to move up in the company. But I just knew I couldn't stay in a toxic environment. That's just not who I am, you know? So, and one thing about us Black women and Black people in general, we're always told, you know, be strong. You're strong. It's okay. Just stay. You know, our families will tell us, encourage us to, you know, we're the strong ones. And that's one thing that I wanted to put spotlight on, because it's not about being strong. You know, there is strength in admitting when, you know, something's too much. You know, it's okay to not be okay.
Vulnerable.
Yes, there is so much strength in that. It takes strength to actually surrender to your feelings, you know. Mm-hmm. Another thing men need to realize, you know, it takes a strong man to cry, you know, to you know, let go of that guard, put that guard down and cry, and to just be the and to show that real emotion. And I feel like that's something that we need to enforce more. We need to not enforce, but, you know, we need to popularize and make commonplace for people to be weak. It's okay to be weak. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to admit when you're wrong. It's okay to admit when you've made a mistake. You know, it's okay to admit when you accept yourself completely for yourself. It just allows you to, you know, live in a freeness and in an area of, you know, inhibition that, you know, it's just a freedom that you've never seen before.
Well, anyway, one thing I will add to that in terms of it's freeing to, you know, feel and admit certain things. Mm-hmm. One thing that I've learned, especially this year, it is very freeing to ask for help. I struggled with that a lot. Just like, oh, it's fine. I can do it. I can do it myself. I don't need help. I don't need this. Because like a lot of times people I've relied on, have a lot of people that I've relied on have let me down. You know, so it's like I've come to spend a lot of my time depending on myself, and I've kind of relearned to be able to ask for help and not think that that's something weak about me.
Amen. I like that. And that's the reality of it too, right? That it goes back to that being strong all the time and always having to have everything under control. And, you know, and especially I just for Black people, like I don't like the trope of the strong Black woman all the time, you know, because A, it teaches us that we don't need help. And B, it teaches other people and other races that, okay, Black people don't need help, or Black women don't need help. We're not vulnerable. Right. We're not soft. We're not, you know, we're not in need of affection and love and certain care that other women would need, when we're all the same. You know, we're all the same. We need just as much love, affection, care, tenderness as any other woman out there, you know? Right. Indigenous women the same, you know, other people of color the same. Yeah.
It's funny because it was a topic on TikTok once. I was a topic on TikTok once where I think it was Black women were starting this discussion about like the same trope of being that strong Black woman, and that it shouldn't be a topic that should be pushed and put on us as like a blanket narrative. Mm-hmm. And then the video was stitched together with a white woman, because I guess the angle that they were coming from was saying like, you know, this is a topic for Black women within the Black community, and we don't need outside, I guess, races talking on it. And so this white woman interjects into the video and is like, oh, well, what do you mean this isn't a conversation for all of us? I think everybody should be able to talk about this. But the one thing I don't understand is, why wouldn't you want to be described as strong? I thought that would be something. And then like the video cuts with like the Black woman being like, this is why. This is exactly why. You just said that you don't understand Like, you want to be part of the conversation, but you don't understand.
Right, right.
So that's why we're saying, like, we're not trying to push people out, but there's no point in having you included in a conversation that you have no context for.
Right, right, exactly. And it's funny because that reminds me of another, well, I kind of had like an Insta. One thing about me, I don't do back and forth online, okay? So if I post something and somebody gets mad about it, you know, I don't go back and forth and cuss people online. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have time for that shit. Like, feel free to hit on whatever you don't like about me. Thank you, baby. Bring more traffic to my page. I'm welcoming it. I welcome all of that smoke, okay? So one day I saw this video of this woman. She was getting like her hair done. She got like a wig glued down and all this stuff. And then, and at the time I was like, wow, you know, two beautiful women, but I can't wait for the day. I wait for a day where no black woman needs glue in order to do her hair, you know? Okay. And it was half a joke, half a true statement. So a lot of women liked it. And then some white woman goes on under my comment and was like, you know, that's so mean. Why would you write that? Da 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 da. Oh my God. Like, why would you hate on what they're doing? La la. And I was just like simmer down, you know, because I don't usually do back and forth, but I had to tell her, like, relax. The people who it was for understood what I meant when I said that. You know what I mean? It wasn't for you. She's like, well, please. And I just left her there. I just had to leave her there in virtual abyss. Because, boo-boo, it wasn't for you. I already told you it's not for you. It's not meant for, you'll never understand. Like, girl, I couldn't. But for our viewers, I will explain it. I will explain it. Because all I was saying was, you know, the amount of work us black women do for our hair, I can't wait for a day where we all are just wearing our afros happy, whether it's a teeny weeny afro, whether it's a big afro, whether it's a small afro, whether we just came out of the shower, it was big and then it shrunk down, wet afro. You know, I dream of that world too. You know what I mean? Where we're just all chilling and we feel good with our natural hair, because that was just what that comment signified. But she would have never understood that. She saw it as me hating. Meanwhile, all I was saying was, you know. Anyway, I just thought it was really funny because I had to leave that lady in her virtual purgatory, okay?
Yeah, because what killed me was, like, the fact that you said that this message was not for you, and she still had the audacity to be like, well, explain it then. And it's like, why? It's not for you.
Right, like, that the caucasity. It was the caucasity.
I was just like, what?
Honestly, well, then please explain. I'm like, how dare you try to patronize me? It's not for you. What are you even doing on this page? Like, get out of here.
Oh my gosh. And it's like, I feel weird because it's like, I don't ever want to imply that, like, people can't share spaces, because I definitely think we can. However, I feel like when you are, you know, especially invited into other cultures, other races, things that, like, and it's an experience that you will never, ever experience, you know? I truly feel that, like, there should be a level of, not caution. Just respect, but not even caution. It's just kind of like, well, I guess maybe caution. Like, you just kind of, like, if you're in that space, occupy, observe, and if you have questions, ask appropriate questions later. Like,
Like, ask nobody's it to your friend.
Yeah, like, nobody's here to teach you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this isn't a lesson for you, but if you happen to share and occupy the same space as somebody else that's, like, dramatically different from you, like, try to take time to learn.
Try to understand and just make it make sense for yourself. You understand? When I say make it make sense, literally bend your mind and think of how this could be not offensive. Because clearly I was showing that woman this is not an offensive comment at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
So bend your mind. And it's one thing, when you take up a space, okay, and you're welcomed into a space, which is, I agree with that, you know, we all can share spaces, but don't be taking up crosses and starting crusades where there were none, okay? Sit down, get your friggin' Wheaties out, whatever you want to want, eat your snack, get your popcorn out, watch the movie, enjoy the show. But don't be starting crusades up in here, okay? Like, that lady, I was like, girl, bye. Like, it's just too much.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you an example of occupying spaces. So, one of my really close friends, she is from Tanzania in West Africa, and her family is Indian, Tanzanian, and Cameroonian. So, essentially, Indian and African. And so, I was invited to attend a wedding out there, and so I went. Because, like, girl, that's an experience. Why not? So I went. And, but the only thing was, like, her family was Muslim. And at that, like, and I don't have a problem with Muslim people. I find them very nice, very, you know, super polite, cool, whatever. But, like, when I was there, I had to not necessarily do all the same Muslim acts that they would do. But at least acknowledge and respect it. Like, if they cover their hair, I'm not gonna go out with my hair exposed. If they tend to dress a little bit more modestly, I'm not gonna be out with her walking next to her in Bati shorts.
Right.
You know, and it's not like a, oh, well, I have to bend to their will kind of thing, but it's just a respect thing. Right. It's just showing respect. Like, you know, I'm spending my time, occupying my time with my friend and her family, you know, so I'm going to make them as comfortable as they are making me.
Right.
And I don't know. I find like a lot of people tend to have issues with that a lot of times.
Really, eh?
Well, just in the sense of, like, especially when something's so dramatically different, like, for example, like even just people not understanding, like, the burqa and stuff, and you're hearing about how hijabs are being banned in France?
Yeah, I heard in Quebec, too. I heard Quebec, they were trying to do the same thing. That was
the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's like, so you can wear a hat, you can, and here's the fucked up part. If you wear a scarf on your head as like a decorative design, like, you know how like the typical French girl who has a scarf over her head, her bangs are showing and she's smoking a cigarette or something like that. That's acceptable. But if you wear your hair, if you wear your scarf in a way that resembles a hijab, not appropriate. It's apparently not appropriate. I was so confused.
And it is confusing because there's people scared of what they don't understand. That's all it is.
But it's a fucking scarf. Like, what's the problem?
And it's funny because
it's a choice of modesty, you know, where some girls may choose to wear long sleeves, long pants, you know, not necessarily wear Bati riders. They just, you know, their religion happens to take it a step further and they cover their hair.
Right.
You know, in some cultures, a lot of cultures, hair is a woman's beauty.
Exactly. I just think it's funny because it's just it goes back to just being afraid of what you don't know and what you don't understand. And I find that it also is that goes hand in hand with mental health. You know,
right?
So many people are scared of what they don't understand about mental health. Like, if you've never gone through a mental health issue or
or a crisis or anything like that.
They're so, it's literally like talking to someone from another world, you know, like they don't understand it. People, you know, that's why there's so much stigma around mental health as well. Thankfully, I feel like nowadays it's starting to become more understood, but I feel like people who haven't experienced it still, you know, there is still a bit of stigma there.
Oh yeah, there's struggles. Even because, like, at one point I had an occupation that involved me dealing with and interacting with a lot of elderly people. And even in that realm of seeing, like, you know, people, seniors struggling with like dementia, other emotional mental health issues, and seeing people that don't understand, like, oh, well, why can't they just do this? Why can't you just do that? And it's like, no, there's a lot more to it than just, you know?
For sure. Like,
I can't stand the people who say when somebody's struggling, emotionally, mentally, whatever, to just, oh, just suck it up. Just deal with it.
Yeah, I don't like that. I definitely can't stand that. Much. And it, like, and it's funny because for me, like, I've dealt with my own mental health struggles this year. Brought on by COVID, brought on by just a lot, actually, just not even realizing that I was struggling, to be honest, just from being a single mom of three boys at home, you know, trying to do my best alone, and not even realizing that some of my struggles that I thought was just, you know, struggle of life, you know, being a single mom, being this, were mental health. You know, it was mental health issues that I disguised, thinking, no, this is normal. Everybody feels like this. Everybody's tired. All mothers are exhausted all the time. All mothers are irritated. You know, you think that it's just the day to day. So you suffer and you suffer and you suffer and you don't realize that there's something you can do to help yourself. There's, you know, like, there's resources out there, and this is not normal. You know, it's like, at what point do you realize this is not normal, you know? So for me, like, when I finally got to a breaking point where I was like, I didn't even want to go to work anymore. I didn't want to get out of bed. I didn't want to deal with my kids. I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to friggin', you know, I was so stressed that I was like, I want all the stimulus to stop. I just want to relax. You know, I felt like I hadn't slept in 10 years, you know?
Right.
So that's when I realized, no, girl, like, this isn't you. You're happy, you're bubbly. This is not you, like, to not want anything going on around me. When I'm normally a social butterfly. I love, you know, being around my family and all that. So I went and got help. I took the steps and I said, you know what? If I'm this stressed out and it's not helping anyone, what worse can getting help be? You know what I mean? Like, so I took those brave steps and I went and got help. I sought out resources, and honestly, it's the best thing I ever did for myself. And I'm so happy I did, because especially in the Black community, we're always taught that, you know, we're strong, like I said, that same trope. But not only that, we're always taught there's some natural remedy, and you know, you can take care of it yourself, and don't worry.
You're depressed, drink some ginger.
Right. Oh, and I'm not even denouncing natural remedies, because for sure there's always a way of doing things, but I had already tried that route, you know? Like, there's something to say about when you try it. I'm not saying, you know, all natural stuff are not good. No, I love that. You know, especially off of us having Jamesia on, the holistic ways to look for healing. I love that. But for me, when the natural paths I had tried were not working, and my stress was just going up and up, you have to realize at some point it's best to try all the resources available to you, instead of always, no, I'm not going to go to a doctor because, you know, I'm Black, and Black people don't seek mental health. Black people don't go to psychiatrists. Black people don't go to therapists. We don't do therapy. We have to stop that. That has to end, because more people are going to be hurting themselves instead of helping themselves.
Isolated. Yes. The one thing that made me, like, very upset during the pandemic was just seeing the police respond to people of color who were in mental health crises, like crisis and crisis issues. Like, there was one recently in Toronto, or I can't even say recently, it was last year in Toronto, where people alleged that the police pushed a woman who was having a mental crisis issue off a balcony. And, like, just hearing that story, I'm just like, why? Why? Like, I've seen clips online in the States of police holding, having an autistic man at gunpoint, okay, who's having, like, obviously is overstimulated, obviously is scared, doesn't know how to appropriately respond because he has fucking autism.
Right.
And seeing his like social care worker run in front of police at gunpoint, begging them, like, please, this man has, like, he's autistic. Please don't shoot him.
God. Oh,
like,
my
thinking
God.
About it makes me emotional because it's like,
yeah.
Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. It,
that makes me want to cry. Like, literally, I got goosebumps. Yeah. Ugh. Ugh. Like, it shows that there's so much learning that trained personnel, especially gun wielding personnel, you need to know. You know what I mean? They need to be trained on mental health and how to recognize somebody who is autistic. Someone who is, you know, suffering from another disorder or has a syndrome or some type of...
Yeah, people who have manic episodes, depressive episodes, people who have suicidal ideations, like, it just... And the reality is, the reality of the fact is, the police are not prepared. They aren't prepared. That's not their job.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no... I don't find any type of rebuttal in admitting that's beyond your pay grade, that's beyond your scope. So instead of my thing is, okay, well, if that's the case and you're seeing that there's so many issues that the police are not equipped to deal with, there should be a separate division of personnel similar to the police, but that are directly meant to deal with mental health.
Exactly.
You know? That isn't a 911, but it's maybe an 811. Like whatever, something like that that can help people who are in crisis, or that somebody can call and have people dispatch who are in crisis. Shouldn't always be the police, because they don't know how to handle a situation. They don't know how to handle Black people. They're incredibly intimidated by Black people.
Right.
And as much as they want to admit it, the woman who was on the force in the United States who pulled a gun and shot a man who she claimed she was going to grab her taser, yet 23 years on the force, and you forget when dealing with a Black person, which side your taser's on? Come on.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I don't know, I feel like because Black people don't discuss and have mental health issues so predominantly in our community as a conversation, do other races assume that we don't have mental health issues either?
Right. No, that's the thing. And I honestly think that it's not the go-to, right? So when a criminal is Black, the go-to is, oh, that's what Black people do. When a criminal is not Black, it's the background. Let's look into why. Let's examine his roots, his father. Yeah. It's everything. It's every other reason under the sun why this non-Black person committed this crime. But when they're Black, it's as if, because, you know what I mean? They associate evil with Black. You know, it's sickening. It's sickening. So that's why I think it's so important to bring mental health to the forefront of the conversation when speaking to Black, speaking about, you know, Black people and our culture and everything that has to do with our well-being. Because at the end of the day, we have suffered a lot of intergenerational trauma. That is why a lot of focus is even on Black crime and this and that, right?
Right.
Because of racism. Want to make it like we're a small percentage of the population, but any little thing we do is highlighted, right? Because of racism.
Yeah, amplified.
Exactly. It's amplified and it's exaggerated. It's made to be like that's just what Black people are, you know, especially in the media. The media is also controlled by non-Black people, right? So we have to change the conversation. We have to change the narrative and really introduce mental health as a serious thing. I'll tell you right now as well, on medication, okay? And I'm proud, I'm happy, I'm strong, and I'm happy to say it. I don't care, you know what I mean? It is what it is. And people in my own life, okay, who have known me from before I was on my medication, when I was depressed, stressed out, in that mode of thinking that this is what life is, you know, life is just hard on mothers, the same people that were like telling me, oh, you know, just Do something about yourself. Do accept yourself.
Just fix up.
The same people telling me to just snap my fingers and just come out of this funk that they thought it was are the same people that are now like oh my God, you know, get off that medication. You know, you're on medication, find a natural way. It's like, you can't please people no matter what. You cannot right. please people. You just have to focus on what's best for your mental health, because at the end of the day, you are stuck with the person in the mirror, not them, you know? True. And that's why I'm happy I took my health into my own hands, because it just really opened my eyes. Like, people will have the most to say when it's not them, and they're not going through your experience. They are not going through your shoes. They don't deal with the stresses you deal with. The same people, they're not home with me all day with my three kids driving me crazy. They're not here all day hearing mom, 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 mom. They're not here having to clean up this house top to bottom to turn around and boom, it's back dirty.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're right. not the ones dealing with the regular stresses and trying to hold down a job, keep everything together, bills paid on time, you know, balancing the checkbook, groceries full, everything, dealing with teachers, virtual school, teachers calling, complaining, having to keep, you know, keep car note paid, everything. They're not the ones dealing with your struggle. People don't know what you're dealing with. All they know is what they see for the couple minutes on the outside, or what they see on your social media, you know? So
right.
that's just something that, a message I wanted to get out there. Like, you need to take care of yourself and think of you, and not think of society or your peers.
Think of you.
Exactly, your family, right? It's not about them. You have to think of yourself, and you're worth every single medication. You're worth every single idea, every single resource that is out there. You are worth trying it to save yourself if you are in a situation that you cannot handle in your life.
Amen, girl. Preach.
Amen. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
No, I was going to say, just to add on to that, because, like, recently at the, at the push of, like, my boyfriend, because, like, he's done a lot of therapy mm-hmm. and a lot of self-work, which I'm, you know, super proud of him for, and all of that. So I started seeing a therapist this year mm-hmm. because, or was it last year? I can't even keep track. But I started seeing a therapist, and I made it a priority of at least mine that, like, if I'm going to talk to this person about, like, things that are going on that I'm thinking about, issues that I may be struggling with, stuff like that, like, I want to talk to somebody who understands and who may relate. Mm-hmm. So when I was picking or going through to get received, like, I guess a therapist, I asked, I'm like, you know, I would love a Black woman.
you right.
know, mm-hmm. My priority was, like, you know, my therapist would be Black. Ideally, mm-hmm. my therapist would also be a female. Mm-hmm. And because of, like the friends and family and people in my life, like, I would want at least an understanding or openness to queerness.
Mm.
Because, you know, a lot of my friends, right. a lot of my friends overlap, intersect into that world.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I want somebody that if I'm going to talk to them, they're not going to turn around and try to do some kind of weird hoodoo and, like, you know?
Yeah, some exorcism on you. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, and they're not going to try and do some exorcism on you if you talk about
queer. Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, you can be. Yeah, so it's just like, I want to make sure that this person's in the scope. And I've yeah. been talking to the most lovely person ever. She is my best friend in my head. Love her. She's wonderful. And it's just nice. It's also nice to kind of have, like definitely a safe space, because that's where I feel like a lot of people struggle mm-hmm. in terms of, like, saying that they have issues but not knowing where to go or who to turn to. They're scared to talk to their own family because of judgment, persecution, whatever. Having this mm-hmm. therapist is like this personal little safe space where I know I can say whatever I want. It's not going back to my cousin, my brother, my this, my that, nobody.
Right.
You know, this is just between me and her. This ain't gonna be nobody's pillow talk at the end of the day.
Right. Right.
And so mm-hmm. there is that kind of liberty, and they can, you know, give you feedback, possibly suggestions, possibly advice.
I love that. And that's so important. And especially for men, it's so
right?
important. Like, kind of touching on your last week, last week's show or a couple days ago. Men need that. Men really need that. It goes hand in hand with preventing a lot of violence, you know, violence against women, violence in general, you know. Men need that because girls, like, we kind of naturally talk about our feelings, you know, because we're encouraged to do that. We're women, right? We're, right. we're just not, you know, prohibited from doing that. We're not ended for talking about our feelings. Our sons, we tell them, you know, stop crying, all this stuff. When, yeah. you know, they need to talk about their feelings too. They really do, you know? So safe spaces is so important. Like for me, my safe space, to be honest, I make everything my safe space. Like my family's like, okay, TMI. I'm like, too bad. You know, I talk too much. Like my family is just like, please make this an unsafe space. Please. But in reality though, you know, we all need that. We all do, especially men. And I try with my children because I have three young Black boys who are going to grow up to be grown Black men. My kids know right now I am a safe space for them. Like they'll ask me, Mom, what are these? What is that? You know, that's a condom. That's, oh my God, I hate that I'm sharing this. But my son went into my drawer, okay? My drawer that they have no is going in, but because I also hide candy in this drawer, they know to go in there to see sometimes if I hid some. Yeah. So, but instead of a snack, he whips out my vibrator.
Oh God.
And he's like, Mommy, what's this? I'm like, that's my vagina massager. He's like, is it clean? I'm like, yes. But you should wash your hands anyway.
This girl actually called it what it is. My vagina massager. I love it.
Yes. I had to tell him because at first I was going to say my back massager, but I'm like, No, that ain't massaging my back. And I also want him to know what it is. So he knows, don't go fucking touch that again. Like he ain't never going in that drawer again in his life. The weird eyeballs he gave me. So my other son was in the room when he asked that. So my other son was dying. So today my other son's like, laughing at me, Mommy, why do you have a vagina massager? I'm like, because through it, okay? She needs love. And he just laughed. He didn't know what the hell that meant, but right. I should just tell him because there's three of you guys. That's all you need to know. Three kids, okay? She needs a massage, okay? All right, give her a break. Honest to God.
You're too funny.
But it's that truth and the bluntness that my kids know they're gonna get. That's why they could come with anything, any day. Sure. You know, Mommy, what's this? Mommy, what's that? Because even if it's something gross, I'm telling you, because I'd rather you hear it from me than some random predator in the streets who's gonna bend your mind and tell you what they want you to think, you know?
Yeah, and possibly groom you and all of this stuff.
Right. Yeah. So I make it my point to tell my kids the truth and in a kid-friendly-ish way, you know?
Right. Like, I don't know, my kid right now, she's in this phase where I got her first sports bra, like little, and it's not even like a sports bra, it's like one of the little like prop tank kind of sports thing, tops or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I told her what it was, but like now she's obsessed with anything and everything that has she likes to call boobies. So like she put on a vest today that like an undershirt that had like, I guess, one of those built-in shelf bras. It wasn't even a shelf bra. It was just extra double padded at the chest for kids. Mm-hmm. You know, protection. It was like from fucking Old Navy. It wasn't even that deep.
Yeah.
She's like, my vest has a boobies? Can I wear the vest with the boobies? And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Everything's got boobies. Yeah.
Everything's got boobies, right? And it's like, my child, God bless her, she's not even like convex, she's concave, okay? Concave as hell. She's a kid. Like, of course she's not gonna have no features, right?
Baby, yeah.
But like, God bless her when she does, because if she's that like hyped right now about just like, you know, stuff that covers explicitly her chest, when she actually has a chest to cover, oh God.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. My girl's gonna have two mosquito bites feeling like she's Pamela Anderson.
Oh my gosh. It's gonna be so funny.
She's so cute, though. I love it. I love it. It's so nice being a mom. That's one thing I can definitely say. But on that lovely note, lady, let's wrap it up. You know, no glove, no love.
So I want to end with asking our audience the question, like, have you had mental health and or emotional health challenges? And you know what, when we post this episode, I would like anybody and everybody who comes across it to try and drop a resource in the comments, whether you tag them on Instagram or you just add like an email or whatever, tag a resource, and so we each one can help one pay it forward.
Yes. That I love that. And if you have any experiences you want to share with us, let know. You know, well, we can share experiences on our next episode. We can read out you know, experiences, because one thing I was going to say too, it's hard on the families as well. You know, when someone is going through mental health, sometimes families that are understanding of what their family member is going through, you know, it's hard for them. They try to advocate for their family and they advocate for these conditions too. And it's a very real thing, depending on how severe the mental health, you know, issue that we're talking about is. So if you guys have any experiences that you want to share and, you know, to kind of spread the awareness of a specific, you know, issue, feel free, send us your stories and we'll share it. We'll help do our part, spread the awareness.
Absolutely. But with that said, I am one half of your host, Hola Miss Lola, AKA Lola.
And I am, hey. And I'm the other half, Hilva. And we thank you so much for joining us. And catch us on our podcast on Anchor FM, on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, on Overcast, on Spotify. Am I missing anything?
On Google Podcasts and everything in between.
Amen. So have a good day. Stay, you know, stay sane, stay mentally strong as much as you can, but be weak if you need to, because that is strong too.
And ask for help when you need it.
Yes, because it's okay not to be okay. Bye.